for WFHB in Bloomington, this is Hereabouts,
a collaboration with the IU Asian Culture Center.
Hello, my name is Kimber Garland, and today I will be interviewing Professor Alana Gershon. Professor Alana Gershon, could you please introduce yourself and the type of research you do?
So I'm a professor of anthropology here at Indiana University, and a lot of what I study these days is how people are using new media to do very complicated social tasks with each other, like breaking up with each other or getting hired.
Great, thank you. So what made you initially interested in this topic and the connection of social media to relationships and breakups?
So I got interested in this because I was teaching a class, which is a kind of very introductory class to how people use language to create cultural connections with each other. And one of the things that I wanted people to know was that they all had the same kinds of implicit rules, that even if they hadn't all talked to each other, they all knew basically the same kinds of things. And so I used to ask people to sit down and write down everything that they know about what are the rules for a first date. And they wouldn't have talked to each other beforehand, and then we would talk about what the rules were, and it would turn out that everybody had very similar rules. But I really dislike this question after doing this for a couple of years, because at that time, there weren't dating apps. And so a lot of what happened was that people weren't actually dating. They had all these rules for what a date looked like. But it took me a long time to get them to admit that what they were talking about was an ideal type and not actually the rules of things that they were practicing themselves. So one day I was about to teach in this section of the class, and I looked down and I thought, oh, I can't ask that question again. So I asked everybody, what makes a bad breakup? And there the answers really surprised me. I thought I was going to get really good answers. I thought I was going to get people talking about how they had argued till 6 a.m, or how they hadn't been able to get their stuff back, or how they had walked into their room and found their boyfriend or girlfriend with someone else. But instead, everybody just said it was mediated. They said it happened by Facebook, it happened by text. And one young man said that he sent his best friend to break up with his girlfriend, and all the women in the class whirled around and looked at him and stared at him really hostily. And I thought, oh yeah, he's not going to have any luck finding anybody in my class after saying that.
So what were the main conclusions from your study?
Well, one of the things that I was really interested in was the fact that I was interviewing people who didn't know each other. One of the things that you do when you're an anthropologist or a sociologist, you often ask people at the end of an interview for if there's anybody else that they could interview, if there's anybody else who'd be ready to talk to them. And no one ever gave me a name. So it turns out that when you're interviewing someone about breakups, they don't tell you, oh, you should really talk to my friend too, which I think is perfectly understandable. But it meant that I was talking to people from many different communities of practice. And so part of what was interesting about that was that I got very different answers for what people were doing with the new media that they were using. And I began to learn that you don't suddenly get Facebook isn't suddenly introduced to a population, or Snapchat isn't suddenly introduced to a population, and then everybody knows exactly how to use it and uses it in the same way. People are figuring this out as time goes on.
Do you think there's a difference then between the younger generation and the older generation and how they utilize social media and this technology?
You know, I think that's a wonderful question. A lot of people in my fieldwork talked about it as generational issues. One of the things that was really charming for me is that people would talk about how the younger generation was doing things really differently than they did. And these were often 20-year-olds or 21-year-olds talking about their 18 or 17 or 16-year-old younger sibling or cousin. And that's really interesting because people are thinking about this in generational terms, but it really seems like it's life stages terms, right? Because people would say the same thing to me in college in 2018 as they did in 2008, and yet they were talking, they said exactly the same thing about how different generations were using it, but they were talking about people who were, in fact, in a particular life stage, and it shouldn't be demarcated by generation.
Focusing on this demographic area then, did you notice any trends or differences between men and women in heterosexual relationships?
Yeah, that's such an interesting question. One of the things that I really noticed happening is that a lot of people knew that men and women did things very, very differently. But when I actually interviewed people about what their practices were, it turns out that men were doing the same things as women were doing. And women were often experiencing and dealing with relationships in very similar ways to the ways in which men were talking about it. So people have really strong ideas of what the gender difference is, but when you actually ask people what they do, it turns out that that range of difference isn't as big in practice as what people understand it to be.
Where do you think this kind of social idea of the differences between men and women stems from?
So what a lovely question. I think people like to classify and understand each other as different people so that they can become more predictable. So you have these forms of classification and you develop them by talking to your friends and to your family, and media helps you think through them. And then you come across a really complicated human being who isn't always that easy to classify, and they will do things in different ways than you expect.
So during your studies, when you're interviewing all these students and learning about their different social dynamics and the way they navigate how they break up, were there any surprises for you?
When I was interviewing people the first time, it was always surprising. I always had a moment in an interview where I wanted to say, "What? Wait, you do what?" One woman told me about how she had assigned the same ringtone to every boyfriend she had ever had. So she would assign the same ringtone to her exes as she did to her current boyfriends, which seemed, we both agreed, very confusing when you actually get the phone call. So there were always these moments, and part of the reason that was happening was because I was interviewing people who were talking to different friends and family, and there wasn't a widespread standardized way to use these media yet.
So with the introduction of dating apps like Tinder and Bumble, how do these affect the breakup scenario or how people deal with their breakups?
I'm not sure that the ways in which people connect affects the ways in which people break up. People kept telling me to look for this in 2008 when I was doing my first round of interviews on breakups, and there really didn't seem to be a strong connection. Like, you have new puzzles because of Tinder and Bumble to deal with. You have kind of particular problems that you have to figure out, like, which way do you media switch once you've made a connection on Tinder? Do you give your Snapchat or do you give your phone number? And so people are making those kinds of decisions. But I don't know that the dating app itself has changed the breakup. It's meant now that when I ask questions about how do you do a first date, everybody has real experience with first dates. Most people are either going on first dates or have friends who are. So that question is no longer the same puzzled question that I had before.
There's this new word that they didn't really use back in the day, ghosting.
Yeah.
What are some effects of ghosting versus face-to-face breakups?
So people didn't have the term, but they were still doing it. And I think what's happened is that now that you have the term, people are able to recognize what's going on as a not desirable, but predictable breakup practice. People don't necessarily like ghosting, but they find it understandable and recognizable. I think there's a strong preference among everybody who I've talked to for face-to-face breakups in general, or at least FaceTime breakups. People used to say that face-to-face breakup was ideal, but then phone might be a second. Now they say FaceTime or some kind of visual phone kind of accompaniment to the phone.
That's really interesting. So since social media has become very prevalent in our everyday life, after breakups, do you think it has enabled people to essentially kind of monitor and stalk their exes or somehow?
Yeah, that happens all the time.
Yeah. Do you think that has changed the way people navigate their breakup or changed the way they have overcome, I guess, emotional hardship of their breakups?
I got a lot of stalking stories in 2008, too. People were talking about how they really wanted to know what their exes were doing after the breakup. I didn't interview anybody before social media was used, so I don't know if this is actually the difference that you would like it to be. My sense is that
you have a difference in affordances between what you're going to do, but that people still were trying to get this kind of information before. It just was harder for them to get this information. So maybe they were more imaginative about strategies for doing it in person or through friends instead of doing it online and through very complicated stalking practices.
In your research, you conducted interviews back in 2008 and then currently, or more recently in 2018. Were there any major differences in your conclusions you found?
Well, there were a lot of differences that didn't seem to make a real difference. And that was really interesting for me to see. There's a little bit of conventionalization happening, which is that the wide variety of really nutty things that seem to be that were happening in 2008 have kind of calmed down a bit, and people don't seem to be as diverse in their media practices. But I think because I'm asking about breakups, what it means is that there's a kind of a general understanding of how to behave badly now, and you have a repertoire for knowing how to use social media to behave badly. So people aren't going to do things like in 2008, I collected a story about someone who had put "I'm done with you" on their away message for their IM account so that anybody who wrote to that account would get the "I'm done with you." And now that's kind of an imaginative way to be a bad person or to behave badly or angrily. And now people know how to express their anger. They've had their friends and their family talk about doing this through social media, and they know what is really fast and legible ways of expressing this. And so they seem to use the same repertoire over and over again. So there isn't that much variety.
Nowadays, with social media, a lot of people post about their post-breakups or the relationship status onto their social media, and that type of thing is forever and never goes away. Do you think that somehow impacts future relationships or somehow changes the way people go about their breakups?
I think that's a very interesting question. I didn't see people talking or reflecting on this very much. One of the things that they did talk about and think about was whether it seemed like a bad breakup or a good breakup. And so they would understand the traces of previous relationships available as a sign that it was probably a good breakup. And if someone had wiped out all traces of the person from their social media, they saw this as probably evidence that it was a bad breakup, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that you could have a different interpretation and worry that someone you're with might still be hung up on their ex if the traces are still happening in the social media account, but that doesn't seem to be the ways in which people were interpreting things. They tended to talk about it as signs of a good breakup.
Will you be conducting any more research on this topic in the future? And if so, what do you hope to discover, or what directions do you hope to take this?
So this just happened to be a fluke that I decided to take a snapshot in 2008 and another snapshot in 2018. And I think if I had noticed more differences that really were interesting or surprising, I might be ready to do this again in another 10 years. But things weren't actually all that different. Like, once you had, I guess the media ecology would have to really change dramatically. What had happened between 1998 and 2008 was a much bigger shift, where all of a sudden, because of the Web 2.0, you could be much more public about your social relationships, and you could do things like trying to address your ex at the same time that you were addressing a lot of other people, but ignoring the fact that you were addressing a lot of other people at the same time and really trying to leave only a pointed message to your ex. You could do that in 2008 much more easily than you could do that in 1998. But you can still do that in 2018. Like, all these things that you could do because you had MySpace or Facebook, you can still do now, right? And so there wasn't enough of a change that people were having to figure out how to use new media. And they're using different media to do this. So people aren't using Facebook as much. They're using Instagram or Snapchat to do, well, Instagram really, to do things like the equivalent of being Facebook official, in 2008, being Facebook official, was letting everybody know that you were in a relationship with someone and was a new stage of courtship. But now it's really letting your family know that you're in a relationship with someone. It's not letting everybody know that you're in a relationship with someone. And you're using Instagram in particular ways to show everybody that you're in a relationship with someone. So that's changed. But you're still using media to address a particular public in fairly similar ways. So if we get a real change in affordances in the next 10 years, I might be ready to do another set of interviews. But other than that, what I mainly have to tell you from the change between 2008 and 2018 is that we've got a whole bunch of new words that we didn't have, like sliding into DM or leaving someone in red or ghosting or creating thirst traps, right? All these things are new terms, but everybody was doing those practices 10 years ago. So I may not be ready to do another set of interviews unless the media ecology changes in a really interesting way.
Yeah, that's very interesting because initially before I conducted this interview with you, I had some misconceptions that there would be bigger differences between the introduction of social media and these terms and how it does affect people's mental health and how they navigate breaking up. So that's really interesting to note that my assumptions weren't as big as I thought they would be.
I have to say, I was really surprised. I thought that, I didn't think about it in terms of mental health, but I thought that if you changed the ways in which people could be authors and the ways in which people could address other people on a platform, that would have a much more dramatic change in how people were breaking up. So I thought the shift from Facebook to Snapchat would be a really big deal. The only thing that really seems to have happened between the shift from Facebook to Snapchat is that now people have more stages of media use in the moment of breakup. So you can break up with someone and still have a Snapchat streak going with them. And then when you give up the Snapchat streak, that's another stage in the breakup, right? And you didn't really have that many stages of breakups in 2008. So like the more social media have introduced more affordances for connecting to someone means that there are more stages in the breakup.
Yeah, I didn't really think about that. The Snapchat streak, yeah. I find that really interesting and kind of funny, but I guess it shouldn't be that funny if we're talking about breakups, but I never really thought about it. Like self-consciously,
right.
I've never experienced where like losing a breakup streak is like the end of our relationship type of deal. But I can understand how some people might find that emotionally taxing or emotionally
right. Well, I mean,
harmful.
It means you have different moments to know that you're really disentangling from someone, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and because what all these media are doing are giving you all these ways to connect, you have to suddenly think about media also as a way to disconnect with people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially since there's so many different platforms of social right. media being used. So then you'd have to, on like Facebook and Snapchat and Instagram, go through all those steps.
Right.
Really draws out the process and kind of hammer home the fact that the relationship is over.
Right.
Thank you so much, sure. Professor Gershon, for letting me interview you. And your research is very interesting. And I had a great conversation with you and I enjoyed your research.
Well, this was a great pleasure. And I have to say, I couldn't have done this research without people at IU being willing to talk to me about really complicated things. So I'm also just really grateful for everyone who is ready to share with me what had been going on in their lives.
You're currently listening to Hereabouts, Asian American Midwest Radio, in collaboration with the Asian Culture Center at Indiana University on WFHB. On today's episode, our theme is Valentine's Day, where we will discuss how people use social media to navigate relationships today. That was just Elena Gershon, an anthropology professor at Indiana University, who spoke about her research findings from the years 2008 to 2018 regarding the topic. Up next, we have an interview with 4 college students regarding their personal experiences with relationships when using social media.
my name is Kimber Garland. Today we have Daniel Park, Monica Liu, Anna Wagner, and Kevin Fan. We'll be talking about how social media has affected relationships and the way our current generation navigates breaking up with their boyfriend or girlfriend. To begin, could you guys please introduce yourself?
Hello, my name's Kevin Fan. I'm a senior studying Japanese, Creative Technologies, and Asian American Studies.
Hi, my name's Anna Wagner. I am a junior studying informatics.
Hi, I'm Monica Liu. I'm a senior studying apparel merchandising.
Hello, my name's Daniel. I'm a graduate student studying accounting.
To give a little context, everyone here is around the age of 20 to 23 years old. So we're really talking about practices within our age group and generations. So to begin, how has social media and technology affected the way you navigate relationships or the way you find relationships?
So I'm just gonna be honest, with the help of social media, I can kind of filter out the people before even dating. So in a sense, let's say I like this girl, right? And then I've been meaning to go on a date with her a couple times, but then I don't know the inside of her, meaning like her. Yeah, so I think social media has been helpful from time to time because it allows me to see a person's kind of like the friend circle or the activities that the person has been engaged in. So for instance, before meeting somebody for a serious relationship, I tend to go on to their social media and sort of trying to look at what the person has been doing over the past few years. And it kind of helps me understand better and also allows me to maybe filter out if the person has a different personality than I am.
I would have to agree. Before meeting anyone, I typically go on their social media, and especially when getting to know someone, I typically like talk to them through other than text messages would be like Snapchat or Instagram, just because you can kind of get a feel for like what kind of person they are and what they like to do through that aspect.
Okay, then a follow-on question for either Kevin or Anna. The way we utilize social media nowadays is definitely crafting a certain brand or projecting a certain image of yourself. So then how genuine do you think a person comes across when you look at their social media? And when you do, or if you do look at others' social media to try to get a sense of their personality, how much stock do you actually put into what they send out?
I mean, in social media, I feel like a lot of it is curated for people. So I try to not put a lot of stock or a lot of thought into their social media image. I think it is helpful to give you an understanding of them as a person, but I definitely don't put my entire opinion or point of view into that.
So then if someone has a better curated social media where their photos are either more professional level or aesthetically pleasing, do you find that person more appealing?
I would say maybe even less appealing. Sometimes if I go on someone's social media and it looks like it's so curated and like they're trying so hard, then that can kind of be a red flag for me because one, I'm like, well, are they like fake, you know? So yeah, it's kind of a warning sign.
What are your guys' opinions then if a person does not have any social media or the social media they do have is inactive or never used?
I think it's personally a red flag to see somebody that has no social media. I think in this day and age, so many people have social media and it's okay if they don't use it often, but it is a little scary knowing that someone doesn't use any social media. I think it is a concern, especially how connected we are and how social media impacts everyone's daily lives.
How do you guys utilize social media breaking up? Do you guys break up over messages or do you do face-to-face? And after you break up, what do you guys do with your social media connections with them?
I feel like it's probably healthiest to block them. But I don't know, sometimes I don't always have the self-control because it is like so tempting to just see what they're up to and stuff, even though it can be like more like painful and like bad.
For me personally, I had pictures of me and my ex on my Instagram and it didn't really like bother me after we broke up. But after like many people came up to me and were like, oh, you're still dating. It got to the point where like I had to archive the photos. And after I archived them, I found that my ex blocked me. So I think that was kind of interesting in the fact that like after taking down our own photos, he would basically like do the same. And then so now like I can't really like see any of his social media.
So I think it depends on how you broke up with your partner. So if you broke up in a bad way that you really don't want to see anymore, I think I tend to not necessarily block, but like try to hide the post that my partner or my ex post. Whereas if the breakup was something that's mutual, and I still want to see that person's activity and whatnot and still maybe stay in touch on a friendly term, then I wouldn't go as far as to block completely.
Dating apps have become popular and have become a staple for the dating scene and getting to know others, as well as the hookup scene. So after someone breaks up, how common do you think it is for people to rebound on dating apps? Or how do you think these dating apps affect the dynamic of a relationship or how someone goes about dealing with their breakup?
I think when utilizing dating apps, typically it's not for a very serious relationship. And especially if you're just coming out of a breakup, a lot of people will utilize it for a rebound. And even if you don't ever end up going out to meet these people, it raises your self-esteem knowing that like you matched with someone so quickly.
Yeah, I personally think of dating app as sort of big market. You're marketing who you are to find a potential match.
So then with social media and these dating apps where a lot of people are judged based on images and kind of the presence they project into the world, do you think it fosters a sense of consumerism and objectification of people and kind of commoditizes relationships?
I think regardless of dating apps and social media, I think either way you're going to objectify the person you're meeting. I think, yes, there is a lot of curating and a lot of marketing yourself, but I think either way you're going to have to market yourself to the person you're meeting.
Final question then for you guys is, social media acts as a mediator. It makes interpersonal relationships and communications kind of easier because you have that screen between yourselves. You don't have that face-to-face interaction or the emotional cues you would get if you were in person. So do you guys think breaking up with someone, although easier over messages or social media, do you think it's better to do it over social media or do you guys still prefer face-to-face?
Based on my personal opinion, I think breaking up with somebody over social media and not face-to-face is kind of immature. Sure, I remember using social media when I was in middle school or elementary school. Now that I'm getting older, I've realized that best way to end relationship has to be face-to-face. So, you know, to ensure that each other understands each other's feeling and to make sure that the breakup is conducted in a civil manner. It's mutual.
I would agree that it's best to do it in person just so you can get all of your emotions out there and that there's no misunderstanding, especially like in the tone that you would text or like send a message through. It's best to get it face to face and in person.
Thank you guys for letting me interview you for this week's of Hereabouts Asian American Midwest Radio. We air every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. on WFHB. This week's episode is about how social media and technology affects the way people navigate relationships and the way social activities like breakups occur. We interviewed 4 college-age students to get their perspective on how the younger generation utilizes social media. We also interviewed Professor Alana Gershon, who conducted research comparing her findings from 2008 to 2018 on how social media affects breakup practices. Thank you for listening and see you next week. You've been listening to Hereabouts with the IU Asian Culture Center, broadcast by WFHB in Bloomington. Our theme music is by Eternal Youth. Tune in to Hereabouts every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m.